Princeton University Press Audio presents The Idea of Prison Abolition by Tommy Shelby, read by J.D. Jackson. In memory of my beloved grandmother, Mattie Brock. Introduction. Reform or abolition? The United States has a higher imprisonment rate than any country on the planet, with more than 25% of the world's prisoners. Walnut Street Prison, the first in the nation, opened in Philadelphia in 1773, initially as a conventional jail, and then expanded in 1790 into a state penitentiary, where convicted prisoners were required to perform hard labor in solitude. But forms of incarceration, used for a variety of purposes, have existed in other places for centuries. While many historical examples are obviously horrifying and inhumane, today's prisons in the United States and elsewhere continue to raise serious questions of justice and human rights. It is a hopeful sign of moral progress that many believe prison systems around the globe, but especially in the United States, are in urgent need of fundamental change. The problem of mass incarceration has received broad and deep news coverage. Numerous public stories, both reported and first-person accounts, detail the generally dreadful lives of prisoners. Persistent and sometimes militant activism is directed at reforming prisons, jails, and immigration detention centers. What is more, the belief that major reforms are needed in our prisons and in our criminal law systems more broadly, cuts across the political spectrum, with many conservatives joining the call. More recently, a growing number of voices call for more than reform. They demand that we stop using prisons altogether. This political and philosophical outlook, known as prison abolition, or sometimes penal abolition, rejects the very idea that incarceration can be a justified penalty for committing a crime. Prison abolition is radical, counterintuitive, and strikes some as absurd. But perhaps the abolitionists are correct, that prisons simply cannot be reformed, that even the most ideal prison would be indefensible. Prisons do tremendous and lasting harm, and this damage extends beyond prisoners to their families and communities. If a society relies on prisons, as all modern societies do, this use demands compelling defense. And so I welcome the call to scrutinize this long-standing practice. Those convinced that prison reform is feasible and required by justice have long argued against defenders of the status quo and against those who benefit from the current broken system. Yet, with rising interest in and advocacy for prison abolition, it has now become essential for advocates of prison reform to put their views on trial against a significant and potentially superior alternative. Indeed, some abolitionists insist that reform efforts are not just ineffective, but legitimize an inherently dehumanizing and unjust practice. In effect, they charge prison reformers, including those who might be well-meaning, serious, and earnest, with complicity in maintaining an oppressive social practice. Some abolitionists also argue that prison reform is a liberal capitalist project that lacks the radical imagination needed to bring about a truly humane, democratic, and free society. These charges warrant thoughtful, philosophical attention. Philosophy, punishment, and prisons. At the heart of the vocation of philosophy is an inclination to consider radical ideas, to entertain the heretical thought, to not dismiss the crazy proposal. We should be open, even disposed, to questioning common sense and current arrangements, even when doing so is highly unpopular and poses some personal risk. Once we have thoroughly considered the radical thesis, we may find that we cannot accept it, that there are not compelling enough reasons to endorse it. We may nonetheless come away with a deeper appreciation of the relevant problems and possible solutions, and with a stronger grasp of what matters most. For centuries, philosophers
Sample complete. Ready to continue?